Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Please be seated. Well, it's wonderful for me to be sharing with you from God's word today. I'm a little under the weather, so bear with me. Yesterday, Pastor Ethan did a great job highlighting, among many other things, the humility of Jesus in fulfilling his role as king. And today we're going to look into the Old Testament reading and think about the vocation that Jesus came to live and to fulfill, and look at this text, Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 9. In this larger section of the book of Isaiah, chapters 40 to 55, we learn about a role or a vocation that is called the servant of Yahweh, the servant of the Lord. But several different figures are described as fulfilling the servant of the Lord in varying degrees of success. It's almost as if the prophet is showing us the audition footage of different candidates for playing this role, but narrowing it down as Yahweh tells us what he wants from this part in the drama. We see that Israel, the nation, is a bad servant. Most human beings are bad servants, in fact. Deaf, blind, hard-hearted, stiff-necked. But Yahweh is in the business of redemption. And one task of the servant is to bring this message of redemption both to Israel and to the nations. Then those people, through Yahweh's work in their hearts and their lives, can also be faithful servants of Yahweh and receive all the accompanying blessings. But the prophet himself understands that if he preaches this unpopular message, if he is an obedient servant, then the rebellious people will reject his message and probably abuse him. But he accepts this in chapters 50 and 53. He accepts that he will suffer for the sake of his people in obedience to God. And centuries later, another prophet, who was, of course, more than a prophet, actually the incarnate Word of God, took upon himself the mantle, the vocation of the suffering servant. And so we rightly look to these verses, the description of the servant of Yahweh, as a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do and be. Only one person is perfectly suited for this role. And what does the passage tell us about the servant's role and about Yahweh who commissions him? Well, this passage from Isaiah can be roughly divided into two parts, two speeches of Yahweh, the God of Israel, with verse 5 in the middle. In verses 1 to 4, Yahweh is speaking about his servant, and in verses 6 to 9, he is talking to the servant. Verse 5 reminds us of Yahweh's power and authority as the creator of the world and as the one who fashions his human images. So what do we learn about the servant in verses 1 to 4? Like Israel, this servant is upheld by God. But unlike Israel, the Holy Spirit is upon this servant, empowering him to do what Israel failed to do. We find language in verse 1 that is reminiscent of Jesus' baptism when the Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove, and the Father's voice from heaven said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And again at the Transfiguration, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What is the mission of the servant, and how will he accomplish it? His mission, we learn in verses 1 and 4, is justice among all the nations, not just Israel. So he will put things to rights. The distant nations, the coastlands, the islands, they understand their need for some leader to bring about justice. They wait expectantly for his Torah, his instruction, verse 4 says. We might think that a leader who brings about justice would be a combative, knocking heads, take no prisoners kind of ruler. Maybe someone who sets a cornfield on fire in the shape of a skull and crossbones. But verses 2 and 3 tell us how the servant will act. It says he will move methodically, firmly, but gently. Anything worthwhile that is damaged, He will not destroy it, but strengthen it. A flame that has almost gone out, he won't blow it out, but instead revive it. He is strong enough to accomplish justice, and he won't stop until he makes justice happen. But there is a wrong and a right way to go about it, and he chooses the gentle way. Yahweh needs a servant who is gentle, but strong and persistent and faithful. What do we learn about the servant in verses 6 and 7? We learn that his right hand is upheld by Yahweh. God is with him in all that he does. He brings about healing and liberation. Whereas we learn further down the passage in verse 19 that Israel has been a willfully blind and deaf servant, stubborn, not useful for anything, this servant of Yahweh will open the eyes of the blind. And then they can faithfully flourish as the servants of Yahweh. And we learn in verse 6, as we saw in verse 4, that this healing and liberation is for all the nations, not just for Israel. But can this servant, who will be expected to fulfill this vocation, can he trust in Yahweh God to strengthen him and bring about this putting to rights? What do we learn about Yahweh in verses 5 and 8 and 9? Yahweh is the creator of heaven and earth and everything in between. Yahweh is the fashioner and the sustainer of humanity. Yahweh is unrivaled. He is unique in power and in glory. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords and the God of gods. And finally, in verse 9, we see that Yahweh is the Lord of history. He can predict events and fashion them to make them happen. He declared the former things in ages past, and they came to pass. And so the servant and all of us watching eagerly, expectantly, can trust that he will uphold the servant in all that he does. So as we continue in the road to the cross this week, Yahweh's chosen servant, Jesus, would act to accomplish what Israel failed to do, what Adam failed to do. Indeed, all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. The Spirit of God was upon Jesus to preach good news of freedom and healing, freedom from our enslavement to our sinful nature and our sinful desires, healing from the scars of sins we've committed and sins committed against us. When Jesus came the first time to accomplish this, he came with a plan. He didn't come in and knock heads around. He served. He taught. He healed. He rebuked. He rode into the capital not on a horse to conquer, but on a donkey to proclaim peace. He went humbly to the cross once for all to bring us to God, to bring us a righteousness that we could not have on our own. Who would have believed this, as chapter 53 says? But it was all part of the plan. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.